This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
You're listening to the latest edition of Truth That Transforms with Pastor Bo DeFrana.
Turn from sin. Turn from wickedness. Turn from drugs. Turn from other alternate forms of transcendence. Turn from sexual immorality. Turn from deception. And give your heart wholly and fully to Jesus Christ. He will receive you. He will forgive you. He will give you a brand new life.
In today's message, Pastor Bo doesn't pull any punches. He implores you to turn from your old ways and begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. Sin has power over all of us until we proclaim that we can't change on our own. Admit that you're a sinner. Accept Jesus Christ's gift on the cross and be transformed. It's as easy as that. The power of the gospel is immeasurable. God forgives, redeems, and gives you a new identity. Are you ready? Stop trying to live in your own strength and turn to Him today. Now here's Pastor Bo as he continues his message, Revival, Spiritual Awakening and Renewal.
Spiritual competition. There were unconverted spiritual people out there. Listen, in our day today, there are these people, unconverted spiritual people who are out there who are searching for a form of power. And they are exploited and they are used by Satan to cause confusion, to try to attack, often through false teaching and through false practices, the real work of God's Holy Spirit in a community. I often see this as a good indicator that the gospel of Jesus Christ, the word of the Lord, the true message of salvation is being faithfully proclaimed from one heart to another heart in a community. And that is why the enemy will strike. That is why. And so then you'll see this like spiritual competition. I actually get eerily concerned when there is no spiritual competition. I get really worked up because I'm going to have to meet God one day. And that means I'm not stirring anything up down here. Now, I'm not trying to stir stuff up I have gotten used to looking across the landscape of our ministry context. And if I don't have any issues going on with the enemy out there, Jesus said, be hot or be cold. If you get lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. So it's just this like, Lord, just keep me hot. You know, just keep us on mission. You know, we've only got one shot at this, one go at this. Life's going to be over quick. So let me make sure that, man, if the warfare is there and it's real, I don't want to miss the fight. Now, I'm not looking for a fight. I'm talking about spiritual conflict, just advancing the kingdom of God, advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ on the earth. When we do that, we can expect the word of God, when it's powerfully working in people's lives, you can expect that there will be this competition that comes from the enemy. Sort of the good news is, if I could say it that way, is it often self-destructs. It comes, it really seems, Christians a lot of times get fearful, they start getting all worried about what's going on, and there's this conflict of some kind that's taking place. And listen, most of the time, those things end up self-destructing because they're false. They're not true. They don't have that foundation of the truth of Jesus Christ or of his word. So they're false forms, deception, all this, and they don't last. I can't tell you how many works of the enemy I've outlasted. Do you understand that? I hope that makes sense. And I know many of you could testify to the same thing. How many times things have happened, whether it's in church or in your life or whatever, in your own walk with the Lord, you've seen a work of the enemy and you've outlasted it. I can resonate with that. But spiritual warfare is real. We have no fear and we continue moving forward with the message when we see the enemy at work. We just keep moving forward with it. So true works of God, so churches, think ministries, think even you and I, individual Christians, we outlast those false and those deceptive works of the enemy all the time. And like I said, often seeing them self-destruct. So our competition then is with the enemy. It's not with what you might be seeing with your eyes. It's with what is invisible. Ephesians 6:12 says it this way by Paul, "For we do not wrestle against flesh. We do not wrestle against blood, but we wrestle against, our conflict is with rulers, authorities, cosmic powers over this present darkness." So it's spiritual. Against, Paul says, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. The spiritual forces of evil possibly refers to the most depraved abominations, including extreme sexual perversions, occultism, and Satan worship. That's what we think spiritual forces of evil, when it's manifested in here, takes form of. Ephesians 6:13 says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God." Now, I want to encourage you guys with that right there. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Very concerning again when, as believers, we're not even really aware that we're in a battle. And so we don't even bother with the armor. We're not thinking about the enemy. That right there is an indicator that we've already been sort of sidelined, sort of deceived, sort of pulled on over here. And we're in this place of just non-effectiveness, which is a strategy of the enemy. Know that. I'm just trying to help believers see the power that is in the Word of God, and that we are to be just consistently, as Paul is here in Acts 19, just consistently sharing that Word, communicating the Word of the Lord, which I understand will require something maybe at first, that I sit and I take it in first. And so this is why making disciples in America, quite honestly, is getting very challenging, because that's real. The need to push back on all the cultural pulls and take time for Christ. Cheryl and I were walking yesterday, and we walk a lot. And that's what I said to her, and she totally understood what I was saying. I said, "I don't know how many emails you guys get, but I get just an exorbitant amount of emails." And it's so crazy how between all of our digital world and my, I was talking about my our digital world and my relationship with Jesus. It's like if I focus on one, the other one gets messed up. You know, if I wake up and I say, "All right, I'm going to nail this digital world thing right now," because, you know, and I'm in my 40s, so I'm trying to pretend like I can live without it. But it's not true. Life is coming at me 100 miles an hour like this, and I got to pay attention to what's going on, or else it's not good stewardship of my life. So I'm stuck. And I was just telling her, it's like, man, and then I focus on that, and then, like, you got no time for Jesus. You know, it's just crazy. So it's living in this tension of managing these things, pushing these things back where they ought to be, and keeping Christ the priority over all of it. Or we're going to miss it. We're going to miss it. We're going to miss the usefulness, miss the mark of being able to be used by God in this life. I don't want to just do church. Do you guys? Like, I don't want to just preach another sermon. I don't want to just plan another worship set with our team and kind of talk through what graphics we're going to put on the screen. No, those are things we got to do. But man, what I'm praying for, what I'm hoping for, what I'm expecting is a move of God. I want to see God's Spirit move. I want to be faithful to the Word of God to facilitate it however God wants to use me in that process. But I just want to see people radically saved, born again, discipled. And part of the vision of our church is I want to see them turned around and using their gifts to impact others to the glory of God. All right, here's the fourth one, and it is conviction. This is a powerful effect of God's Word that brings spiritual awakening and renewal, is conviction. The Word of God will do this. It's something that's missing today. Now, for those of us, I understand we're at church today, many of us get convicted by the Spirit of God on a regular basis. We love the Lord. We're open to His Spirit. We study His Word, and we sense we're convicted all the time. But when you sort of say, yeah, conviction, not a lot of people in our society, in our culture, are experiencing conviction. Now, the Spirit of God will do it, but I'm just saying in a general sense. Now, look what happens here. In Acts 19, verse 17, "This became known to all the residents of Ephesus, And what he's talking about right there is what we just read previously. That demon-possessed man had counterattacked those people, those seven sons of Sceva. That event became very well known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now, as a result, what does it say happened? Fear, you see that? Fell upon them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus, as a result of that, was extolled or magnified. Also, many of those who are now believers came, who are now believers, look what they're doing, confessing, and they're divulging their practices. That'd be so cool. Are we ready for people to walk in here like that? Yeah, I hope if you came this morning and you feel as though you're under conviction to do that, that you do that today. That you come confessing, just come divulging, giving to the Lord these things that you know do not please him, that are in rebellion to him, and you're just able to repent of those things, put those down here in a sense, experience his renewal, experience his spiritual awakening, his cleansing, his filling, and then be able to experience in his boldness to go out into the world still and live a fruitful life. And a number of those, verse 19 says, who had practiced magic arts, they brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. It's a ton of money. Now, what does having the fear of God fall on a population look like? I thought some biblical examples. Here's one is the people of the city of Nineveh. They came under such conviction and they repented. You want to read about it? It's in the book of Jonah in the Old Testament. Chapter 3, 6 and 9. It says that the word reached the king of Nineveh. So the prophet Jonah, when he finally went to Nineveh and he preached to Nineveh, it says that the king arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. He repented. And he issued a proclamation then and he published through Nineveh, quote, by the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. He called for like a fast. He repented so much. The fear of God fell so much. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. That was just a way of showing repentance. And let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. And then he says, Jonah 3, verse 9, he says, who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. That's a picture of the fear of God falling upon a population. Here's what it looks like on a person. You guys remember Peter? In Mark's gospel, chapter 14, verse 72, immediately the rooster crowed a second time. Do you remember this? And Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. He broke down and wept. See, the word of the Lord cultivated conviction. It came to him as authoritative, and it cultivated this sense of fear that God should be honored, respected, reverenced. In other words, what God has said, I will be held accountable to. Therefore, I want to respond properly to it. That word is good for me. That truth is good for me. So the word of the Lord, in other words, the message about Jesus Christ, the power of the scriptures, also discerns the heart, discerns the soul of a person. Why would I talk about this conviction? I see it in Acts 19. But I want to argue for it. Hebrews 4:12 says this, the word of God is living and active. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts, there it is, and the intentions of the heart. So these people experienced conviction because they saw that not only was the spiritual world real, but that it had consequences attached to it, and that the dark practices that they had been involved in would lead to eternal death and destruction. They knew They had a spiritual need to fill. And what they were currently involved in wasn't the right answer for that need. We must be willing to share that reality with people, that there will be eternal soul damning consequences for living in darkness and rejecting Jesus Christ. If any of you here today are living in darkness, come into the light. Come to Jesus Christ. Turn from sin. Turn from wickedness. Turn from drugs. Turn from other alternate forms of transcendence. Turn from sexual immorality. Turn from deception. And give your heart wholly and fully to Jesus Christ. He will receive you. He will forgive you. He will give you a brand new life. He will set you free from Satan's chains. You put a period on that. He will. I'm thinking of a verse right now, but I need it to go through my head for a second before I spit it out right. Luke 10:19, 44, getting old. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. That is the empowering word given to his disciples before he sends them out. I think we need to get that, have that, understand that, operate off of that. Go into, I understand it can be a little uncomfortable. All right, last one, domination. And I got to crunch on time here. Here's the last one, domination. You want to write this down. So the word of the Lord continued to increase. This is Acts 19:20. And the word that I want to draw attention to at the end of my message today is prevail mightily. That's different. Luke gives us these kinds of summary verses all throughout the book of Acts. This one has a little nuance to it, and it's that word prevail. So the word of the Lord continued, yes, to increase, but he says here, but it prevailed mightily in Ephesus. Like what we just read is a prevailing of the word. The Greek word, and it's not because I'm trying to be cute as a Greek scholar, I genuinely want you to see this. The word prevail, the Greek word of that, which I cannot pronounce, means to have force. And it also means that it works. So when it says prevail, it's the combination of force and work. It works. Many Christians don't get this, that the word itself works. It works. It will. There's a verse of scripture that even says, but the word is not chained. Paul's talking about himself being in prison, but he says, but the word of God is not chained. Like I am here, I am in this situation, but God's word is not bound. God's word is not chained. So see, as we're talking about revival, spiritual awakening and all this in our community, we need to understand this about the word of God. That when the word of God is shared, when we are the ones that are simply just communicating it, it has force. The word does. We're always groping for power. We got to stop doing that. Power's in the word. We got to stop searching for all this over here. It's in the word. Speak the word. Share the word. Learn how to get up underneath the word of God and speak its power. Speak its force. You can do it. You can do it because you're born again. You can do it. You're born again. You can do it. You have the Spirit of God. You can do it. You can just speak the word of God, and you can do it in such a way that there's force behind it. Because it is forceful. That's what the word says it is. In the beginning was the word. The word was God. The word was with God. Behold, the word of God, then he comes and he's the light, it says in John 1. He's the light of all men. We're talking about Jesus Christ. That's why it's alive. When you're sharing it, you're talking about it and you can sense it. But there's power in here. There's power in here. There's power in here. Yeah, because it's Jesus. It's the life of Jesus Christ who's coming through the word of God. And it's working. We want to see our own lives changed. We want to see other people's lives changed. Keep this thing at the center of everything. The word of God centered everything. Now, some of you have shared with me in the past over our times together, how you have heard the word of the Lord. And by the power of the Spirit, You have come up to me many times and you have just stopped certain practices, certain habits that were wrong, that were displeasing to God. And you personally, many of you, have experienced the dominating, forceful effect of God's powerful word in your life to set you free. You've experienced that. I know you have. You've told me that, and you've changed. You see, the message about Christ in the entire Old Testament and New Testament canon of Holy Scripture is the truth. It is from God, and therefore it comes with force as it works to accomplish the purpose for which God sent it. The prophet Jeremiah, he said this in Jeremiah 23:29, "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces." We look at certain things and we think, there's no way that can open up. There's no way that can change. There's no way that chain could come off of that. That darkness is too thick. People are too far gone. Sin is this, that, and the other. And we say all this stuff. Guys, is God any less powerful today than he is in the past? Has his word changed? No, none of these things have changed. His word has a way of breaking in and working in people's lives. So I just want to ask you to ask God for a greater hunger for his word. That if we say we trust the word to be effective, then let's double down on reading it, studying it, and obeying it, and sharing it with others. Now, I just want you to picture the powerful effects of the word happening in you, happening in us as a church, happening in this community. And then I want you to picture the effect specifically of the word of God as well upon the next generation. Did you hear what I said? I mean that. I want you to start thinking about that as a church. Proclamation, confirmation, competition, and domination. Here's what I want to ask you to do as well. I was driving, so it was a bit sketchy how I had to write this down. I want to encourage you to grab a Bible. I think the ESV Study Bible is great. I want to encourage you to pick a passage in the Bible. Always use your church as a launching pad. Pick a Bible, pick a person, pray, and just ask, who is in my life right now that I could disciple, that I could start sharing the word of God with? Could be in small ways, could be in big ways, as far as verse of scripture, volumes. I don't know. I just want to encourage you, start praying about that. Pick a person. And then I want to say it to you this way. Pick a place. Pick a Bible. Pick a person. And pick a place. Panera, Starbucks, break room at the office. Your living room might be a great place. And begin sharing. Listen, not your thoughts as much, not your philosophies as much. No, the word of God. The Lord. Do you want to get ready to experience like that? Come on, that living water, that fire of God, the work that God wants to do in the world. I do. I desire that. I think this is what we ought to be doing, is just to be on mission as Christians, sharing the word of the Lord. Be a disciple who makes disciples of Jesus Christ.
If you're enjoying this edition of Truth That Transforms, we'd like you to share it with friends and family. Pastor Bo's messages can be found on our website, trinitychurchmlb.churchcenter.com. But you can also subscribe, like, and share these via podcast. When you subscribe, you'll always be alerted when new content is made available. It's easy, accessible, and convenient to share with those you know. Again, make sure to subscribe. Truth That Transforms is based out of Melbourne, Florida. If you're ever in the area for work or vacation, we'd love for you to join us for community and fellowship. We meet on Sundays at 10 a.m. Pastor Bo has more to share at that time, and it would be such a blessing to hear about your story and get to know you, helping get you connected. If you have children, we have opportunities for them as well. There's a youth midweek service at 6:30 on Wednesdays. Get them involved and plugged in too. To learn more about our ministry and who we are, we invite you to go to trinitychurchmlb.churchcenter.com. Pastor Bo will be back again next time, reinforcing more truths about God and how our relationship with Him and His Word is of utmost importance in impacting those we relate to in the world. Perspective is key, right? If you have any questions, feel free to call us at 321-676-8992. That's 321-676-8992. Thanks for listening to this edition, and come back for more from Truth That Transforms.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. My sins, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow.